Well, good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Very thankful for the Lord's mercy on me. I feel very humbled to be before you this morning. And I, like that song said, I definitely lift my cup up to the Lord and desperately desire to be filled because I have nothing to offer. And I pray that the Lord will speak through me this morning. I appreciate y'all's prayers. Last Sunday night, the Lord gave us a message focusing on who He is and who He was. Talked a lot about Jesus and how Jesus Himself, talking to the Pharisees, He identified Himself. Well, let me back up. God had identified Himself to Moses as the great I Am. And there also have been, there's references in the scriptures of His name being Yahweh or Jehovah, and which means He who is, which obviously is similar to I Am. And so we were talking about how the God of all creation, you kind of think of the name I Am, and that's, in my mind, maybe I'm the only one who does this, but you kind of think of their, the hierarchy, and then you have God the Father, or the great I Am, and Jehovah, and then you have God the Son, you have Jesus, and then after that, the Holy Spirit was sent. But as we were talking last Sunday night, we realized, you go read in John, Jesus Himself, He identified Himself as the great I Am. Whenever he told them before Abraham was, I Am, which is in direct response, He was directly identifying Himself back to the name I Am was given, was revealed to man. He was identifying Himself with that. He said, before Abraham was, I Am. And at that point, the Pharisees got really, really upset at Him and tried to stone Him. And of course, that didn't work out because Jesus decided it wasn't the time. But I was thinking this week and seeking the Lord about this Sunday, and thought maybe it would be good for us to think a little bit about now who we are and what part we have to play in all this. Because we have an identity as well, and I'll have to say, our Sunday school lesson kind of walked all around this message, so if you were here for the Sunday school lesson, I guess you kind of maybe heard a little precursor to some of it, but I want to read, starting in Genesis, to lay the groundwork, Genesis 13. We're going to have quite a bit of reading today, but I asked y'all to pray that the Lord would bless this. Genesis 13, and 15 and 16. For all the land, so this is God talking to Abram at the time. I think they had just, him and Lot had just separated, I believe. And at this point, Abram still had not had his name changed. But God spoke to him. He said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. All right, and then we'll go to Genesis 15 and 5. This is God talking to Abram again. Let's see, what does it say, 15 and 5? Is that right? Yes. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And then let's go ahead and read Genesis 22, 17. This is after Abraham had been asked to sacrifice his son, and God stopped him short. Genesis 22 and 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So, obviously we know that there is a, in Jesus' time, the Pharisees, they claimed Abraham as their father, right? And that was one of the things, there was a contention when Jesus made the statement of, "Before Abraham was, I am." They were extremely proud of the fact that they could claim Abraham as their father. They were Abraham's seed, and physically they were. They were all descendants. The Jews were descendants of Abraham. The Pharisees were descendants of Abraham. So they had that correct. They were able to say, "We are Abraham's seed." However, they had it all wrong. They had the idea of what it meant to be Abraham's seed completely misconstrued. The promise that God gave Abraham was much deeper than a physical lineage that goes back to Isaac and then to Abraham. There is so much more, and that's what I hope for us to look into today. In Galatians, we have one of the best descriptions of where we stand now in that lineage of Abraham. So, starting Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Let's go there. Galatians 3 and 6. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with the faithful of Abraham." With faithful of Abraham. So, "He therefore, even as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Know ye that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Okay, so that identifies something that I also can claim lineage with Abraham. You go a little farther, 3 and 13. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Then, going on a little farther, this whole chapter is full of wonderful descriptions of what it means to be a child of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. We'll go to the 26th verse. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So, it was already mentioned earlier in the chapter, I think in verse 7, that those of you that are of faith are considered children of Abraham. And then now we see "for all of the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So we see where that faith is directed, whether or not where you're considered a child of God or a descendant of Abraham. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That is what it meant to be Abraham's seed. And that's what, way back when God gave Abraham that promise, yes, was there a physical lineage that was traced down, and Jesus did come from that physical lineage. And however, there was something so much deeper than that, that was meaning that the Pharisees had missed. They had, if you look on in the history and the political climate of the time, the Pharisees had put so much stock in the fact that we can trace our lineage all the way back through Isaac and Abraham and say, "I am one of Abraham, I am part of Abraham's seed. I am part of the promised multitude, the ones that the nation shall be blessed through me, because I am one of Abraham's seed. However, what they had completely missed was that through the blessing of Christ being crucified and him laying himself down, he was the seed of Abraham, and he laid himself down for us. And then what did it say the scriptures talk about? Through Jesus' blood, through him laying himself down, we now are heirs in Christ Jesus. We are now able to be part of, we're adopted. We've been adopted into the family of God, which is included, which Abraham's seed, that all covers that. We are now, Abraham was promised a lineage, his descendants were going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And he took, there's a song that talks about this, and it paints a picture of God taking an old man and says, now you took the old man out at night and the broad canopy of stars, and look at this, and so shall your seed be. The number of all these stars, that's what your seed is going to be. And Abraham, I don't know how much Abraham understood the meaning behind. At that time, he knew he had, actually, when he's given that promise, he didn't even have Isaac. But then at the last reference, I think in Genesis 22, was whenever he had was going to follow through with the sacrifice of his son. Not sure how God was going to work out the whole lineage thing. But sometimes I wonder, did Abraham truly understand what it was going to mean for us one day to be able to say that I am part of the promise that God gave to Abraham? I take that as a, I don't know what it does to you, but when I stop to think about that I personally am part of a fulfillment of God's promise to a man, I don't even know the math, but many, many, many years ago, that God made a promise to a man that his seed was going to bless the nations. His seed was going to be more numerous than the sand on the seashore. His seed was going to be more numerous than the stars in the heavens. And I am part of the fulfillment of that promise. And I find that very humbling, if you ask me, that I am included in the fulfillment of a promise that God said, all nations are going to be blessed. And I don't know the figures on it, but Christianity has been spread far and wide. And I do know this, that God said in his word that every person is going to have a chance. Every person has an opportunity to make their souls right with the Lord. He's not an unfair God. He's not going to give anyone the short end of the straw to not be able to make it into heaven. So every single nation is going to be blessed by the fact that Abraham was faithful and that his seed went through all the generations, and Jesus was part of that. And then when he was died and was crucified on the cross, that then his blood by faith, what does it say? And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. If I claim Christ, if I claim the blood of Jesus, by the washing of his blood, I am now adopted as one of God's sons. What does it say? I think it's in Galatians, I think it's actually the next chapter, 4, where it says that God sent his son. But when the fullness of time, yes, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord that I am counted as one of, and this is the way my mind was wrapping around it, so I would be classified as a Gentile. I would not be considered as far as I know, I'm not one of Abraham's seed as far as lineage goes, as far as the blood, as far as we look at ancestry and all that. However, by me acknowledging what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and saying, Lord, I have faith. What I think it says in Galatians 3 and 26. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. When I put my faith in what Jesus did, remember he is the great I am, the one who created all of this. He's the one who visited Abram at the time and made this promise. He's the one who did all that leading up to this. If I accept the sacrifice of what he did and who he was, then I am then adopted and become, what happens when you become, when you're adopted? You become part of the lineage. So now I am one of God's sons, one of his children, and I am now part of the lineage of Jesus, which Jesus was part of the lineage of Abraham. And so it all goes back together that we can trace ourselves, even though we can't physically, maybe we can't say, you know, I have relationships and my cousins and uncles and great grandparents and all the way back to Abraham. Maybe I can't do that. But what I can do is go straight to my fellow heir, Christ Jesus, the one who we talked about it last Sunday and again in Sunday school today. The one who himself identified himself as the great I am, the all-powerful King of the universe, chose to take, let's say he humbled himself and bore the death, even the death of the cross. The thing that was so opposite of who he is life itself, and he chose to suffer and die an earthly death so that I could become one of the seed of Abraham. I could then become one of the sand and stars that God promised to Abraham. I am one of the promised multitudes that Abraham probably didn't even comprehend what it meant. What he was being promised, that he was going to have descendants that are going to be, that was going to bless all nations. He probably didn't even have know how to even comprehend 2026. There probably wasn't even a, he may not even totally understood who Jesus Christ was and what was going to be done through his lineage. I don't know. I don't know how much he understood of what was happening, but I do know that he had faith, and he's listed as the father of the faithful, and rightfully so, because here we are today, still looking back and saying, Abraham was, that's where God made his covenant with mankind, saying, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to bless mankind through you, Abraham. You're going to have a son, and that son is going to have a son all the way down through the ages until we get to Jesus. And now Jesus has opened up his arms, and God's opened up his arms for us to all join his big, wonderful family. Now, this is where we have to be very careful. Just like the Pharisees, we have to guard ourselves that we don't become like them. Because the Pharisees thought they had it all figured out. They were so proud of the fact. In fact, I would venture to say they had lost sight of what it meant to be the people of God, and were instead had focused so much on their bloodline. They focused, you go read in the scriptures, they focused so much on who their parents were, if they could trace their lineage back to Abraham, that is what mattered. They lost complete focus on what God intended by the law. Whenever he instituted the law, he gave the Abrahamic law, and that's where he instituted the rite of circumcision, and and from there you move on to, you get to the Mosaic law, where you have the moral law that was imposed upon mankind with the Ten Commandments and all those things. The Pharisees lost sight of what those things actually meant, what the purpose of those things were. They so much so that, well, the saying is, can't see the forest for all the trees. The Son of God was standing in front of them, telling them who he was, and giving them signs, and giving them everything they needed to see. And they were so blind by the fact that we're Abraham's seed, and you don't match up to all of our rules and all of our things that we believe are right. And they were, at that point in time, they had made up so many of their own commandments and things that it made it such a bondage to be a part of God's people. They had made it where it was a power struggle for them. They wanted to be in charge and they wanted to be in control. And they were very exclusive. They were very, very exclusive. You couldn't, I think that's one of the reasons why that started that whole argument with when they started coming to Jesus. I'm thinking it may have been in that same chapter where they were upset that Jesus' disciples, I think they had said they didn't wash their hands before they ate or something. I think that's kind of what started some of that. And the whole background of the hand washing thing was not, I don't believe that was actually in the Mosaic law that you go read in Leviticus and all that. Obviously, it's good hygiene to wash your hands, but that's not why they instituted that, to wash their hands. They instituted that because in case you touched a Gentile. It wasn't because they're trying to be hygienic, and it was so in case you touched a Gentile, you washed your hands before you ate, because you didn't want to maybe get, you know, you didn't want that in part of you. They were so exclusive and so standoffish. There was you didn't get involved with them at all. Well, so I look at that, and Lord help us, I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be one of God's chosen people. I want to be part of the sands and the stars that Abraham was promised. But I don't want to be like the Pharisees and saying, I'm a child of God. I'm part of God's family. And then I start, Lord help us, we've been hearing a lot recently of making sure that we're measuring up to our personal convictions that come from the Word of God. Now, there are standards that we hold that are good standards. There are things that we definitely should strive to uphold, and if you don't, they're good things to uphold and to stand by. However, when we get to the point that we are trying to exclude people from even being interested or coming to want to be a part of the family of God, but because maybe they don't look the part or they don't feel, we need to be very careful, because that person may just be interested and say, how can I be a part of this family? I want to come to this family. I want to be a part of it. But then we stand off and say, no, you don't. You can't be a part of it, because just like the Pharisees would say, you can't do that because of all these things that you don't measure up to. You're not part of the lineage of Abraham. Well, thank God that now we have a way to bring people in, to bring them into the lineage of Abraham. You can't make yourself related to somebody, but through Christ Jesus, we have a responsibility to try to help grow this multitude. Our job is to bring more people into the family of God, not to exclude them because they're not measuring up to what I see, what I feel like you should look like or do. Now, yes, should we pray for each other and pray that whoever is interested in becoming a child of God, we should pray for them that the Lord will reveal to them and speak to their heart. And obviously we need to see growth. There needs to be growth there and getting a deeper relationship. But is it my responsibility to go and start telling people, you're not measuring up there, or you don't look like a child of God, or to be part of this family, you got to do this or do that? We got to be very careful about that. We heard messages a while back that said, if maybe it's true, maybe it's maybe there's nothing. If it's true, are you the one to tell it? And is it kind? Or there's different, a whole lot of things that we need to ask ourselves before we go start trying to impose what we think being a child of God looks like. It was mentioned earlier that a lot of us have had the privilege to grow up doing this. Grow up coming to church, listening to prayer requests. We've grown up going to prayer, getting up, singing. Someone may or may not have a special. You're going to have a message. It's probably going to last, 30, 40 minutes. On Sundays, the preacher's probably going to be done by noon. That's what we got. We pretty much can set our schedule. And we end up getting stuck in a rut. And like I said, if we're not careful, we end up being like the Pharisees and saying, that's different. That's not what I'm used to. That's not what it's, so that must mean it's not like being a child of God. We've got to be very careful about that, that we understand that I'm not condoning compromise. That's not at all what I'm saying. But let's be careful with our judgmental, as a human, our human tendency can be to be very judgmental, to be very standoffish, to think, you're different. I'm not sure if I should embrace someone who's different. I'm not sure if I should accept someone who's different. But if that person is as a seeking soul, is this not where we want them to be? Is this not where we want them to come in and try to be a part of the family? Obviously, we don't want compromise, and we don't want to start accepting things that aren't conducive to a walk with the Lord. But should not we be spending time in the Word and be stronger than that, to that we don't feel like we can't invite people to come to church because we're afraid of what it's going to do to us? Well, I think it should be the other way around. We should be inviting people to church because we want to see what our influence can do to them. Don't get me wrong. We have to be careful where we go and what we do. I'm not saying we just willy-nilly go and just go wherever you want and say, well, I'm strong enough that, you know, the Spirit of God's going to rub off on all these people so I can go wherever I want. I can now go to these establishments and be totally fine. That's not what I'm saying. But let's be careful with the attitude of our heart that we don't hold this to ourselves. We don't want to hold this to ourselves. We are supposed to be growing this family. That was one of the last things that Jesus said before he left this earth, the last time he was here in physical form, was, go tell everybody. Y'all are mine. Now, you, and you, go tell everybody. And he said, what did he say? He said, go into every nation, did he not? And so what did God tell Abraham? That every nation, through you, every nation will be blessed. So, not only am I part of the inheritance, we read that now that we're heirs with Christ, we have a right to the inheritance. We, as long as we follow the Lord's commandments and we stay close to Him, we will have the inheritance with Christ. We'll be fellow heirs with Christ one day. And we already are getting some of those benefits here on earth. But Lord, help us that we don't lose focus of what it means to be a child of God, to be part of the family. Let's see. There's some more scriptures that I think we're going to skip those. I feel like the Lord would have me not to mention those, but there's some scriptures in Romans that talk about, directly addresses the fact that the Pharisees had a whole, their mindset was completely off with what it meant to be. It directly addresses the fact that when he made a promise about through Isaac that the nations would be blessed, he wasn't saying it was Jew for being a Jew physically. It was, there's a whole separate, a deeper meaning than that. And that's what Paul was trying to explain to the Romans. Like, there's more to it than what everybody has been understanding. What you've been told from the Pharisees, there's way more to it than that. However, now I want to go to 1 Corinthians, because I want to make sure that we understand the importance in a family. We should strive to have unity among ourselves. We are God's children. We believe that by faith in Jesus Christ that we are His children. One of the scriptures, I think it's in 1 John, it says the Father's love makes us, I think, called to be sons of God or something like that, and we're now the sons of God. By God's love, we all are part of, what does that song say? We're part of the family of God. We call each other brother and sister. We love each other. We care for each other. We want to bring more people into the fold. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, that does not mean that we're all going to have exactly the same opinion, or that we're all going to see things exactly the same, or that we're all going to actually agree on some things that maybe are way we feel we should live our life. In fact, there is, if anyone would like to understand more about that, Brother Rod had a wonderful series a while back on how to deal with differences. We all come together, but in a crowd like this, I can promise you, we have some different opinions. And each one of us, in fact, there may be different opinions within the same household, in the same marriage. There may be some different opinions on how things look. I'm not talking about the basics. The basics have to be there. But I can promise you, there's some differing opinions in here of some different things. But I'm going to read this again. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The same mind of whatever it takes to serve my Lord Jesus, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes. The scriptures say, Paul mentioned in one of the other epistles that if it causes my brother to stumble for me to eat meat, then why would I eat meat in front of him? Why would I invite him over to supper and serve a pot roast? Does that make sense? Maybe I don't feel like it's wrong for me to eat meat. Maybe he does, but why would I say, come to my house and have supper and serve him a pot roast, if I know that? I'm hoping that I'm making sense here, that it's not, if I know that there's something that someone maybe has an understanding, or maybe this is how they feel, that we be careful, that we don't purposely, it's hard to be perfectly joined in one mind if we're doing those kind of things. Maybe I don't agree with one thing or the other, or maybe the Lord, I can't, there's things that I know for a fact, there's things that God has called me to put aside, or to no longer partake of in my life, that would not be a sin for you to do, most likely. I don't know what God has put on for you, but it would be wrong for me to get up here and preach it as a sin for some of the things that God has asked me to put aside. Now, for me to do it, it would be a sin because God has told me, Jared, don't do that anymore. I need you to put that aside. And if I tell him, okay, I'm going to put it aside, but then I go back to it and keep doing those things, that would be wrong for me. And that's where these differing opinions and things can come to play. It would be wrong for me to impose that on y'all. But we can still have the same mind. We can still have the same, speak the same thing and have no divisions among us. Even though maybe there's some differing opinions on some things. Maybe there's some differing things that God has called me to than he's called you to. And I'm not saying that there's multiple paths of heaven and anything goes. That's not what I'm saying. Please hear the spirit of what I'm trying to say, is that we need to have a unity as a family. You know, as a physical family, not everybody sees things eye to eye, but we strive to have unity in a family, and we can do that with love and with Christian love, that we can look at each other and say, I know maybe you offended me, but I know that your intent was not to hurt me. Your intent, I know that your goal was to serve the Lord and be one of his, to be one of the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. Your goal is to be one of the sons and daughters of God. So let's be careful that we don't assign motives to people. Or if we see someone doing something that maybe we don't agree with, there's guidelines in the scriptures of how to deal with that. We can pray for them. And if the Lord so leads, I would say be very careful about this one. You have to be very close to this person. There's things that we can do. My advice would be Let's pray for each other. If you see something in me that you're not sure about, pray for me. Pray for me that I would be able to see the light of God in the way that God would have me to see it. And then while you're doing that, pray for yourself. That's what I want to endeavor to do that. But if I see something, Lord, bless that person. And Lord, also bless me if I'm wrong, if I'm seeing this incorrectly. Lord, will you help me to see the light? Help us all as a family of God to try to draw closer together. But while we do that, let's go out and gather others in, because this is not an exclusive club. This isn't an exclusive family. This isn't an exclusive thing where we have the doors all shut and we don't want anybody else in. We want more and more people to join our family. We want this room to be as full as can be, and we want everyone to be joining us to go to heaven together. And I want to make myself clear, there is only one path. There is only one way to heaven. There's not multiple ways, and you go your way, or you can do it this way, you can believe that, and you can believe that, and we're just all going to meet in heaven one day. That's a dangerous doctrine that's taught a lot of times in the world, that each person can have there's multiple ways to get to heaven. Just, you know, do it this way, you do your way, and we're all good and happy. Be very careful with that, that we don't allow the spirit of compromise into our midst. Now, I'd like to read one last scripture that I don't, the song that I was referencing kind of depicts this in a really beautiful way. It's in Revelations. And I know this isn't exactly how this is depicted in here, but I'm going to read it and then I'll maybe expound a little bit. 7 and 9, Revelation 7 and 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now, who do you think these people are? It says, of all nations, kindreds. How are they all different kindreds? It says, languages, people. You have this magnificent throng of people before the Lamb, before the throne, before the Lamb of God. And they're wearing white robes. Then later on, that question is asked. It said, verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they that came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So what did we read previously of what makes us an heir with Christ? By accepting Christ's blood, being washed in his blood, we are now heirs in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be an heir with Christ? That means now we are also part of Abraham's seed. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night. I'm sorry, I skipped part of it. These are they that came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The way the song brought it out was it went through the verse of saying, you brought an old man to the seashore, and you explained to him, you know, all the sand that you see, that's going to be your descendants. Then he opened up the sky. He said, brought him out at night and showed him the stars. He said, so shall your seed be. And then it takes him to this scene. And he said, and it depicts Abraham being there. And he said, Abraham asked, like, what's this white robe throng? Who are all these people? And the way that the song depicts it, it says, the Lamb said, these are the ones I promised you. These are the ones so long ago that I promised you. This is it. These are the sand and the stars. We are the sand and the stars that was promised to Abraham. That's who we are. And one day, Lord willing, every one of us will be part of that white robe throng, that God will be able to look at us and say, you're part of my promise. You are the ones, Abraham. Look, I don't know how it's going to be, but I kind of like to think of it as he's going to look back to Abraham and say, Abraham, this is what I promised you. I promise you through your son, Isaac, I promised you this. Look at this. Look at all these people that are here because of what I promised you. I promise you that all nations will be blessed. There, it even says all kindreds, all nations, people, and tongues stood before the throne. That's the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. And I am part of that fulfillment. Thank the Lord that I can be a part of his family, that I can be a part of the promise that God made to Abraham, that one day we can all stand and Abraham, like I said, I don't know how it all works, but I like to think that Abraham's going to look at that one day and say, Lord, now I see. You promised me my descendants would be as the stars in heaven, and now I see what you're talking about. These are they. These are the ones that are clothed in white, that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are now heirs and adopted sons and daughters of God the Father, the great I Am, whatever name you assign to him, he is all one and all three in one, the great I Am. And now we're part of his family. And y'all pray for me. I want to do my part to bring others into his family. And I want to do my part to be, to open my arms to anyone that is desiring to be a part of the family and help them, to bring them in and say, come in, come sit down with us. Come sit at the table. We got plenty of room. I think of it as a Thanksgiving table. We got plenty of room for you to come sit down with us. Be a part of our family. You can be a part of this. Let's do our part to expand the kingdom of God and his family. Y'all pray for me.